The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
That's when I battled fear the worst, was when planning, you know, to try to get pregnant for the third time. And that is when my mom gave me the poem that had hung in my great grandma's house about happiness in God, and just choosing each day to be thankful and happy for what God has given you for today. And from then on, when I went into future pregnancies, I didn't really fear what if I lose this baby, because I was just enjoying being a mommy to that little baby for that day, because I didn't know if I'd have another day.
We never know the level of our faith until we come up against a storm in our life. Is our faith strong enough to stand up against the battle, or does the battle knock us down again and again? Well, coming up next on Sought Out Radio, we share the trial of Emily and Matt Small, who live the life of enduring trials, one after another, in the everyday routine experience of trying to start a family. Do we have what it takes when the overwhelming battle of our emotions wash over us? We'll find out, because that's coming up next right here on Sought Out Radio. So we welcome you to Sought Out Global Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote, and I'm joined once again by Sought Out Ministry leaders Herb and Bethany Marks. And also joining us on this show as a testimony show, our special guests, Matt and Emily Small. This is a different show than our usual shows from time to time, and this is different for another reason, because we're all in different locations using virtual technology and internet protocol to connect us all, have this great dialogue, and to hear more about Emily and Matt's story. And so with that, I just want to introduce Emily and Matt Small. Thank you so much for joining us on the radio program.
Thank you.
It's really great to have you guys aboard. And Herb, this has been a really interesting story that you shared with me, and you were really insistent when you heard it that this has got to be something we have to tell on the radio program. Why are testimonies so important, Herb?
Well, testimonies tell of the goodness of God, but it's up close and personal. When a family, when Matt and Emily experienced what they did, and it's really apparent that God's hand was on it. I was just thinking, others need to hear this so they can be encouraged also. There's nothing like a testimony, because you can't argue it away. It's not a debate. It's not an intellectual argument. The fact is, God did something. He breathed on a couple regarding their little girl. And we're really anxious to share that story, because we know there are others that are listening that need the hope that God can do this for them. So we're excited to get rolling here and share Matt and Emily's story.
So with that, Matt, Emily, welcome to the program. And I'm just curious, let's start with you initially. Tell us a little bit about yourselves. You know, where you come from, what do you do? What would the listener find interesting in general about you?
Well, we're not that exciting, but we've been married 5.5 years, and we have 2 daughters, a 3-year-old and a 16-month-old, and I'm a stay-at-home mom, and my husband is a CPA.
Great. And you guys live in Bellingham, and how long have you lived in Bellingham?
My husband was born here, and then I moved here about 16 years ago, so this will definitely be our home for a long time, I think.
And where do you attend church up in Bellingham?
We go to Hillcrest.
I know that church well.
Oh, yeah. Great. We've been very happy there. The people are very friendly, and we've enjoyed getting to know other families as well.
So, Emily, you started a family a few years ago, and tell us a little bit about that decision to start a family and how things got rolling for you guys.
Well, it just kind of happened. we got pregnant pretty quickly after getting married, that one, unfortunately, we lost that pregnancy. But we kind of knew we always wanted a family, and we didn't want to wait a long time to start that and to get some kids at our house.
And so you guys started obviously trying to have a child, and the first one went bad there. Tell me just, you know, how you dealt with that and what that situation was like for you guys as a couple.
Yeah, it was really hard. We you know, going through a miscarriage, it took us by surprise. We didn't know how it was going to affect us, especially me. It was very hard emotionally. And then about 6 months later, we found out we were pregnant again, which we then also lost that one. So it was just kind of the first, you know, year and a half was a real roller coaster of just emotions of wanting to start a family, but continuing to miscarry. And it was really hard just trying to trust God that it would work out.
So you had a miscarriage after a first, obviously. So you've got two now early in.
Yeah.
Your plan to have a family. How far along were you when you had the first miscarriage?
The first miscarriage, I was 4.5 weeks, so very early. We basically had just kind of found out, and then miscarried, and then the second one, I think I was about 6 weeks. You know, it sounds horrible, but there were so many. I have to think about how far along I was with each one and which one I was, you know, 5 weeks with or 8 weeks with. And but they were all the first trimester. All of them were early
on. Got it.
Yeah.
So just enlighten us here a little bit about what you are thinking towards God about just these young little babies that were in the womb that didn't make it very far. How were you just doing in your walk with God, and what kind of questions and answers were you getting from him?
You know, I felt like I was able to stay close to God through it, because really I didn't know what else to do. You know, the only answer was to turn to God for me, because I knew that was the only place where I would get comfort for the loss that I was experiencing and not understanding. It was very, very painful to lose a child so early on, and then also for people not to understand how hard emotionally it was to go through that. Even if you were only 6 or 7 or 8 weeks along, there's an attachment to that child. It's your child. And it was really hard. Actually, what was the hardest was people's responses. Just not understanding that you love that child, even if it was just for a few short weeks. And after my second miscarriage, I suspected, you know, after a few months later, I suspected I was pregnant again, and I was very afraid. And my mom, actually, she gave me a poem that my great-grandma had hanging in her house, and it was called How to Choose Happiness in God. And it made all the difference for me for all of the future pregnancies that I was to have. And basically, I learned from this poem to just enjoy being a mom to a baby, even if it was just for 5, 6, 7, or 8 weeks, and to realize that I am a mom to those little babies, and to enjoy every minute that I was pregnant with them, and not allowing fear to take over. What if I lose this baby? What if I'm going to miscarry? And because of that, I was able to be very happy when I was pregnant, even though a lot of the time it ended in a miscarriage. But that made a huge difference for me, of just choosing to be happy that God had given me that baby, and rejoicing in each day that I was able to be that baby's mommy.
Wow. I can't even imagine, you know, as a father of four, what it's like to lose a child, and how hard it would be, because there's such an incredible buildup as you're waiting for the child to come, right? As you guys know, and you just can't wait to be able to see what that child's going to look like, what they're going to be like. Are they going to look like mom, like dad, maybe a combination of us? And so the hopes kind of soar very quickly after you get pregnant, don't they?
Oh, they do. You start to envision the future so quickly, and all the plans that you have for, you know, what it's going to be like to see that baby for the first time. And I remember especially the first two miscarriages, really wondering what did the baby look like? You know, would it have looked like me? Would it have looked like my husband? Or, you know, just wondering what color of hair it would have had. You really start to realize it's a real human being, you know, and it's really hard to let go of those dreams that you have, even if they're just for a short time, of what you envision your future would have been like had that baby lived.
And you, of course, get to find out that information. You just have to wait.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So you guys didn't quit there. You pressed on with...
Yes.
A decision to try to have a family. Let me just stop before I ask about the next attempt at having a child. How much were you dealing or fighting and battling fear about going through this now a third time?
That's when I battled fear the worst, was when planning, you know, to try to get pregnant for the third time. And that is when my mom gave me the poem that had hung in my great grandma's house about happiness in God and just choosing each day to be thankful and happy for what God has given you for today. And from then on, when I went into future pregnancies, I didn't really fear what if I lose this baby, because I was just enjoying being a mommy to that little baby for that day, because I didn't know if I'd have another day.
Early in our marriage, we lost a child as well. And, you know, the sense of loss, we understand, and the incredible pain that goes with it. So as we're listening to just the different steps and phases of what this couple has been through, we're just very much enthralled with all that's being said.
And so, Emily, you went through this not once, but twice, and now you guys have made the decision that you are going to try to do this again. Was there, you know, and this, you know, I'm going to throw this question out to you, Matt. Was this at any time, was there any time when you were divided about what you should do next?
I don't think so. I think we did start to wonder if the Lord really wanted us to have children. You know, we weren't sure why this was happening. There's always a reason. We don't always get to know why something is happening down here on earth. So I think there was some questioning as to, you know, are we supposed to have children? Is this the Lord's will for us?
So you guys pressed on and you decided again, let's try to... We're not going to try to stop any pregnancies. We're going to see what happens again. And
yes.
And so pregnancy number three came approximately how many months later after the second pregnancy, Emily?
It was about another six months later.
Okay, so now you've gone through the stages of being pregnant how many times over what period of time? From the first pregnancy to the third, how many months do we generally have there?
It was a year and a half, three pregnancies.
So that's a lot in a small period of time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And your world's getting rocked here, right?
Oh, yeah.
How are you holding up emotionally? It seems like that would be a tremendous roller coaster of highs and lows.
It was a huge roller coaster. It was very hard for me, especially, you know, in a year and a half of three miscarriages and being newlyweds and trying to adjust to marriage and all of that. It was very hard. It was a very difficult time for us. You know, to maintain a good marriage and all the grief that was going on with it. We really just had to, I guess, just turn to God and just keep pressing forward. Because it was very hard, a lot of emotions, and it was a very challenging time. One that I do not want to go back and repeat.
Wow, just incredible. So this third time you went and got pregnant, what was different?
I was just more at peace, just I didn't worry so much about is this baby going to make it or not. I really just started to enjoy that I was pregnant just for that day and to just celebrate that day. I know a lot of people choose not to announce pregnancies early on, especially if they've had miscarriages. But I actually chose to do the opposite. As soon as I knew I was pregnant, I told people, I told family, I told friends. And the reason for me doing that was I didn't know how long that baby was going to live, and I wanted to celebrate every day that it was alive. And that was really important to me, to acknowledge that life while it was there, even if it was just for 6 weeks. I didn't want to stay quiet about it at all. But I know that that's very much an individual choice on announcing early on, especially if you've had miscarriages in the past. It can be really hard to announce and then have to unannounce, you know. But for me, I was just, you know what, I'm going to celebrate this new little life and just be happy for today, because I don't know what tomorrow is, but I do know what today is.
So, Emily, when you stepped ahead in the face of fear, you faced fear down, not by going into a place of hiding, but to just be out there and trusting God one day at a time.
Yes, very much.
Wow, that is that's powerful.
It really is, Emily. And let me tell you how powerful it is of a testimony by itself. I know people that won't announce who haven't had miscarriages. And they withhold just till they get through the first trimester or so, because they can't live with the idea of even going through what you chose to go through, not once, not twice, but three times.
Yes.
It's amazing. So at some point, I assume the doctors are telling you what to expect here. Were you getting real pessimistic reports from physicians throughout this time that was dashing your hope?
Yeah, a little bit. We went down to some fertility clinics just to try to figure out, you know, why does this keep happening? You know, is there something wrong? And the response that we got from the large clinic down in Seattle was, they really couldn't figure out what was wrong. They just said, basically, my body wasn't strong enough to maintain a pregnancy. And they basically told us, just keep trying. Eventually, it might take, but we just don't know. And that was very discouraging to hear that, because that pretty much just meant, you know, you just got to keep trying and you might miscarry, and it's a very high likelihood. And there just didn't seem to be anything we could do to help my body to be able to maintain a pregnancy. And so it was really just a matter of trusting God that he would make this happen, because there was absolutely nothing that the doctors could do to help me.
You know, you hear a lot of times about people who are pregnant and there is reason for concern based on someone's medical history.
Right.
I'm just curious, how did they know that it wasn't something you were not doing? But specifically, you know, there's sometimes they'll look and they'll suggest that you should be on bed rest for a pregnancy, and that you're a high risk pregnancy, and that there's reasons for that. Was there anything that at any time where doctors were telling you that it might be something you're doing and that you need to do less, like even walk?
No, not at all. I could get into the technical terms of what they thought was the problem, though there was nothing that I was doing or not doing or not taking care of myself. They said it was literally just that they actually said my uterus was too weak to maintain a pregnancy past a certain point. And they said there was nothing they could do to help strengthen it. They said it's just a matter of just trying and hoping it works eventually.
Are you in your late 20s, Emily?
At the time, yes, I was. We got married right a couple days before my 29th birthday. So, yes, I was in my late 20s, I was 29 and 30 when these miscarriages happened.
Well, a lot of people can relate to this, because a lot more women have miscarriages than we talk about. So I know that it's resonating with people.
So what I was going to ask real quickly was, what was the longest pregnancy you had in the first two?
Of just the first two?
Yes.
The first, I think the longest was the second one, and I believe it was 5.5 weeks.
Okay, so it was a fairly short period of time, and so now in the third pregnancy, you don't have to go very far before you, like, hit a major milestone.
Yes, exactly.
And so when did you really feel like this is going to happen?
Well, with the third one, I did start to think that. I made it to just about a day shy of being 8 weeks, and that had been the longest I had made it, and so I kind of was starting to feel pretty good about that. I had morning sickness and a lot of, you know, strong pregnancy symptoms. So that one was a very big surprise for me when I lost that one, just because I had gone so much further.
And how far was that?
Just about one day short of 8 weeks.
So you went through a third miscarriage.
Yes, I did.
So, Emily, let's move into what happened next. So now you've gone through three pregnancies, you've gone through three miscarriages, and now you've decided once again you're going to try this a fourth time.
Yes. No, we actually didn't plan that one. After the third miscarriage, I decided I really needed to take a break.
Right.
And it was a surprise when 3 months later I had a positive pregnancy test.
So this time you weren't even trying.
Oh, no, not at all. Not really.
And in the previous times, would you say you were trying?
No, not really. They just happened.
Okay. Okay, great. So this fourth time, were you able to conceive this time and all the way through the full term of the pregnancy?
Yes, we were.
So this is very different. So you were able to actually have a baby.
Yes, it was very surprising the whole way through the pregnancy. I just kept thinking, wow, this actually might happen. And I think I was still saying that at 9 months pregnant.
That's fun. Emily, did you ever name any of the first babies?
We did, yes. For me, that was really important to give a name to each child that we had. And that alone is its own special story of how each name came about and how it was really encouraging to look back for me and to see how God was in even that of picking the name.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you had the fourth pregnancy. You were able to go full term with this pregnancy. And what did God bless you with?
We had a little girl that we named Kathleen Rose, and she was born just healthy as could be and full term, and it was the most amazing day.
I can only imagine, after all that time of being through so much emotionally, what it's like to finally be holding one of these children.
It was amazing, actually. It was, but also in some ways it also made the previous miscarriages more of a reality. Once I was actually holding a child of mine for the first time, it really brought those miscarriages back of realizing this is what was inside of me, you know, the previous three times as well. But it was such an amazing day when she was born and just, you know, actually having a baby to hold. That was just so wonderful.
Wow, that is powerful. You know, the fact that you have up to this point three little ones that one day you will meet.
Yes.
And but now you have a little baby that's in a sense representing the other three, and but this one you've got to raise.
Yes, exactly.
That's when you're holding.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
It was wonderful. Oh, I think I never let Matt hold her until she was like an hour and a half old, if I recall. I wouldn't put her down.
What a great ending to this chapter of such an amazing and incredibly difficult trial for a couple that loved God so much. It reminds us of the timeless question, why do bad things happen to such good people? We wish we knew the answer to that question with any degree of certainty. But what we are certain about is how much of a blessing Matt and Emily Small were to us here at Sought Out Radio. And if that wasn't compelling enough for you, just wait till next week, because just when you think things could not possibly get more difficult for this couple, believe it or not, it did. Next week comes part two of Emily and Matt's testimony that not only deals with yet more pregnancy trouble, but is a battle of faith for the child that she was able to conceive. Remember, Sought Out Global is active on social media. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter for updates on happenings with the ministry or our meetings as they happen. To find out, just go to either Facebook or Twitter and search for Sought Out Global. Very quickly, looking at our calendar, tomorrow, happening on March 18th, Krista Pitcairn Smith and her husband Sean Smith will be ministering down in the Sumner Puyallup area at East Point Church. The time for that begins at 6 p.m. for personal ministry, and Sean will be teaching at 7 p.m. on both Friday and Saturday evening this coming weekend. If you want to attend, please go to eastpointpeople.com and be sure to register. Also, this Sunday, on March 20th, we're hosting a home encounter in Edmonds at 5 o'clock. The address for that event is 5114 Picnic Point Road in Edmonds. Again, 5 o'clock, Sunday night, home encounter with Sought Out. Well, I'm afraid we're all out of time. For Herb and Bethany Marks, and for Emily and Matt Small, thanks again for joining us. Be sure to join us again next week right here on Sought Out Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.